All right, hello everybody, and welcome to another installment of the supermarcy.com audio reviews. I'm your host, Super Marcy, and I'm joined today by one Bede Jermyn. Hi, Bede.
Hi Marcy, how are you?
Not too bad, mate. And we're also joined by Miss Beatrix Harper. Hello, Bede.
Nicolas Cage says
Nicolas
Bede,
Cage
not
is
me.
on the show right now.
No, I'm Nicolas Cage. This will be
You
the
went
Nicolas
past.
Cage podcast.
Apparently, Nicolas Cage is
No, it's not
in this audio review.
it's not a podcast, it's a pod cage.
That's Nicolas Cage rearing his ugly head once again.
You don't say.
I apologize to our listeners, but if Nicolas Cage is around, I have to do it. It's just.
Yeah, even though Nicolas Cage is not in this movie that we're discussing today.
Although that'd be awesome if he was.
Nicolas Cage
Yeah.
is like the force. He surrounds and penetrates us.
Spoiler alert, the twist is Nicolas Cage.
Exactly.
Anyway, we are actually here to discuss the latest film from the one and only M. Night Shyamalan. And he's kind of back in the horror genre. And as much as a lot of people love to make fun of him and stuff, his latest film, The Visit, isn't actually too bad. So I'll give you a rundown of the plot from IMDb. Two children are sent to their grandparents' house to spend a weekend with their grandparents, while their single mum goes on a relaxing vacation with a boyfriend. One of the kids, Becca, decides to film a documentary about her grandparents in order to help her mum reconnect with her parents and also find out some things about her parents as well. While filming the documentary, however, Becca and her little brother Tyler discover a dark secret about their grandparents. That was really poorly written. Basically, yeah, it's I wouldn't say it's found footage. It's a mockumentary type handheld movie. So it's done from one of two cameras, I believe. Where there's two, they're not really children, they're 13 and 15 year olds, played by Olivia De Jong, I think, and Aussie boy Ed Oxenbold. And they
Actually, oh,
go,
sorry, not to interrupt Marcy, but
yeah.
Olivia De Jong is actually Australian as well.
Oh, is she Australian as well? Oh,
Yeah.
cool. Well, I don't think I've seen her in anything, and I know I've seen Ed in Paper Planes. Yeah, two Aussie kids who are convincing Americans. Yeah, basically their mum had a falling out with her parents when she was 19. And the kids have never met their grandparents, so when they reconnect with her on Facebook and ask if they can spend some time with the grandkids, the grandkids say yes, and the girl who's this budding documentarian says she'll, make it as a doco. So they agree to go. While the mum, gets to spend some time away. It might not sound that interesting, but it actually is really good viewing. We see the kids going on this journey to meet the grandparents, and once they get there, things seem good, but then nightfall and strange things happen, and then more strange things, and then more strange things. But it's actually really fun to kind of watch it all unfold. And I got to give credit, the kids are, while they do have their annoying traits, the boy thinks he's a black rapper. It's kind of some funny little moments. But it's surprisingly really entertaining. And there are actually quite a few hints as to what's going on. So watch carefully and you'll be able to see what's going on. But as far as it having a twist, it's not a twist like, say, The Sixth Sense. It's kind of done and then it just progresses. But I think it's, I mean, he's really stepped away from what his films were just really terrible. He's kind of stepped away from that formula, and this is something quite different. He's gone with a whole different concept. It's quite funny at times. I think it's almost like he's in a comfort zone, but not in a comfort zone. If he can come back and make some other good films, that'd be good, because clearly the man has talent. Something just hasn't quite worked for him. Those are my all over the place thoughts. What about you, Beetle?
I saw this film right after I saw Pan, and if anyone's listened to our last episode, our other audio review for that, I wasn't a big fan of that one. But watching The Visit right after Pan was what I needed that day, because I'm not going to lie, Marcy, I absolutely loved this film. I had a great time watching it, and I've always been kind of an M. Night apologist, and I've always been rooting for him to make a comeback for probably since The Happening. And, like, you know, I'm just thinking it's going to – I'm like Bart Simpson in that episode of Camp Krusty. It's like, yeah, don't worry. M. Night's going to – he's going to make a comeback. He will. And then you'll prove everyone wrong. He will. I'm really happy that this film has turned out as well as the way it did. I think it's – it's very entertaining. Like, it's definitely one of M. Night's more entertaining films. Like, it's – you just have a great time watching it from beginning to end. And also it's – surprisingly funny, and it's supposed to be because it's a horror comedy, so and it's also quite creepy and unsettling at times as well. And I'm also was kind of surprised where, not just terms and plot, just some of the aspects of the film, I'm actually surprised the film actually went there.
Let's just say there's a scene involving shit that I could have done without seeing.
That scene actually freaked out my audience. Because, you know, shit is pretty terrifying. I think everyone in the cast did a really good job. I mean, the two kids were great, and I found them, like, yeah, they have their annoying traits, as you say, but I found them very likable overall. And also, I do have to give credit to the actors who played the grandparents, Peter McRobbie, who actually plays the priest on Daredevil, I think, and as well as Deanna Dunigan. I thought they did a really good job with their roles, and they're very convincing, almost psychopathic grandparents. Let's just say that. And Catherine Hahn's really good as well. And I just think it's just a good return to form for M. Night. And also, in a way, it's him tackling, you know, the found footage genre as well. And I think he did a really good job, and definitely one of the stronger entries in that subgenre I've seen in a while. I had a great time watching this. I really liked this one a lot.
Awesome. And B, share your thoughts with us.
I highly agree with you both. And as somebody who has worked a couple of night shifts in an old person's home, I have to say, like, when the grandparents go wild in this movie, like when the sun goes down, the same thing can be said for lots of older people in real life. Like, it's called sundowners, but that's beside the point. The initial sort of idea that it's M. Night Shyamalan sort of coming back from this dearth and this mire that he's, like, been trapped in for the past couple of years, it was very good to see that now he's sort of going back away from the traditional Hollywood mainstream and just focusing on something that's more akin to what he's comfortable working with. What Marcy said, he is in his comfort zone, but at the same time he's stepping outside of it and sort of extending his feelers out to different areas and just getting a feel for this, getting a sense of evolving himself as a director while at the same time working with what he knows. I completely agree with everybody in this movie, that the cast in particular, and even though the kids, they could be annoying, well, they are children. Like, I would have been a little more incredulous if the kids were completely straight down the line and were very, very mature. Like, kids will be kids. But yeah, when I found out both of them were Australian actors, I was like, wow, that they do some pretty good American accents there. And the overall impression that the film left on me, it was a good return to form. It's not his best, Unbreakable or Sixth Sense, but he is definitely going back on the path, and I'm so glad to see after all the failures that he's had to endure. So good for you, Shyamalan, good for you.
Yeah, and I think too, this is something that he sort of raised money for himself. He didn't have a studio to kind of tell him what to do, so I think he could just really do his own thing a lot as well. And yeah, I think it's a brave move for him. So I think, you know, that was pretty cool. But I found it to be a strangely enjoyable movie.
It is a strange movie, but that's what funny, I loved about it. It's so insane when you actually, I'm just sitting there thinking, what on earth am I watching? But I'm loving every second of it.
Yeah, and kudos to Nana and Pop Pop because they are just, yeah.
They're wonderfully unhinged.
Yeah, although I'm hearing like again from the Age of Outrage people, it's like this movie gives old people a bad name as well. Grandparents can be kind of scary. Let's just say that.
And of course they are.
Yeah, but that's the thing. I think what I like about the film is that the thing when M. Night's at his best, he sort of taps into people's fears. You know, like things that we're all afraid on a daily basis, and kind of I guess exaggerates them in his films.
Yeah, and we're often reminded, like, they're old people. Old people are kooky. It's kind of this weird, like, ongoing theme. But you know what? I'm not ashamed to say I quite enjoyed it. It really worked. And I think it's a really good movie to watch as part of doing 31 Days of Horror.
Exactly. I'd recommend everyone to check this one out for sure. Especially if you enjoy found footage films as well.
And you have to take into account, like, making a genuinely funny horror comedy is very difficult to do. And The Visit is successful at this, for a lack of a better term. Like, sometimes there are a couple of jokes that sort of fall flat, be it from, you know, somewhat sort of bad timing, or just, like, it just wasn't the best it could have been. But when you are dealing with two very extreme examples of genres and combining them together, such as with comedy and horror, you really have to mind your step. And once again, it's thanks to the fact that Shyamalan isn't trying to appease any sort of like major big studio to, you know, get all the bums in the seats. He's actually working with a sense of creative artistry and integrity. It was really refreshing to see.
Yeah, definitely. So what's your rating, Bede?
I'm not going to lie, Marcy. I'm giving this 4.5. I really liked it that much.
Wow. B, what's your rating?
4 out of 5.
Yeah, I think I'd probably be 4 out of 5 as well. I'm not a fan of the handheld found footage subgenre, but this is definitely one of the better ones. I would have, however, not had opening credits, because I think that just takes you out of what you're experiencing. And I had this issue with The Sacrament, which is one that I watched for 31 Days of Horror. That is like a mockumentary, whatever you want to call it. Having opening credits, I think, just really takes you out of it. When you have this kind of movie, don't have credits. I think that's, you know, one of the minor flaws with this. Yeah. And, that's a wrap. So thanks for listening, everyone, and enjoy your 31 Days of Horror.
Woohoo!
And catch you later.
See you, everyone.
Bye.